So the good news is we need to also consider protective factors. And I'm getting this information directly from the CDC. They say that protective factors reduce the risk for perpetrating or experiencing abuse and neglect. Now, they also remind us that these protective factors have not been studied as extensively as the risk factors, but it's equally as important to identify and understand protective factors as well as the risk factors. So some of the protective factors include things that reduce risk for perpetrating abuse and neglect. For example, at the relationship level, and this goes for the elderly as well as their caregivers, the relationship level, having strong relationships with people of varying types. At the community level, the coordination of resources and services among community agencies and organizations that serve the elderly population and their caregivers. You know, having that in your life, not only as a caregiver, but also as an elderly person, helps. This is a protective factor against elder abuse. Enjoying a high level of community cohesion and a strong sense of community. Having that functionality in your community just gives both caregiver and the elderly person what they need to avoid falling into that pattern of abuse or avoid becoming victim to that pattern of abuse. And then in the institutional setting, there's protective factors as well. You know, monitoring systems, solid institutional policies and procedures, training on elder abuse and neglect for the employees, education and clear guidance on the durable power of attorney and how it should be used, and also regular visits by family members, volunteers, and people in the community. All of these factors are protective factors.